Turn to Mark 4 for a minute.
I'm going to have to review a minute, and then I'm going to take you into something the Lord's doing right now. Look at verse 11, Mark 4, 11. He said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Listen, the kingdom of God, there are great, great mysteries that cause the kingdom to operate, function, and manifest. Now, if these mysteries were laying around mainstream Christianity, more of us would be operating in it. But the mysteries of God are in the high places of God, and you're going to dwell with God in the high places. That's where the mysteries are. And when the mysteries of the kingdom unlock and release into the earth, you're going to see the manifestation of this thing we call the kingdom of God, this invisible realm manifesting in the visible realm. That's ultimately the goal, is to get all of this invisible realm, identify what is in the invisible realm, and get the invisible into visibility. Amen. And that is what we're after. We want the invisible into visible. All of it, not part of it, all of it. We want full gospel. There's something we've just encountered recently that I believe is going to change the face of Christianity. I think it's going to change the dynamic of everything when we understand how it works. And we're understanding how it works as we proceed. You have to remember some of these mysteries. He shows us how to, what's going on. We have to walk it out. I mean, it's not like somebody has taught us all these things. God's teaching us, and we're taking this huge journey with him, but we're way up in there. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean we can't see it. Not you, because you can see all things, but just because those people out there can't see it doesn't mean you can't see it. I mean, everything we're about to walk in, we have seen. We have tasted, touched, felt. We have walked in a perambulated state with God in, and it's getting very real. When we're talking about the face of God, a lot of people have their own definition of face of God. When we get the face of God, you worship him, intimacy. That's one part of his face. But you have to understand, anybody that gets close enough to the Father, his name is him that was, is, and is to come. If you get into his glory is more than a cloud that surrounds you. It's more than a visible cloud, but it can happen. His glory, when you touch it, things happen. You move. You move from where you are into where he is. He moves you. He gives you place to move freely. A lot of times you can move future. Sometimes that can be an encounter, but I'm going to show you how to do that without an encounter, because I'm learning how to do it without an encounter, and it's becoming an encounter, and it's awesome. Contagious, praise God. And so when Moses asked for the glory of God, as we know, God said, you can't see my front parts, because really saying you represent the law, but I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to let you see behind me. So he walks behind him. We think just Moses saw his backside, but he saw everything behind him. And I think Moses was born, what, in 2400 years after Adam, something like that? And he saw all of it. He wrote it. He wrote the books. We never think about it like that, because we live in a technological age and you can pass information. But in there, they were in stone tablets. How could you pass information down like that? How could he know the thoughts and intents of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the personal? He walked it all out with the Father. He got to see every single action when he wrote it. So he captured the detail. Now, we see this with all these men. We have this series called Time Habitation. These men get caught up in the glory of God. Isaiah, he gets caught up in the glory. Everyone's about to go into captivity. The whole earth is full of idolatry, but the seraphim up there saying, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of the glory. And the door begins to shake. But in reality, he's coming back to prophesy to his nation, you're going into captivity. Because the seraphim were looking into the Father. And when you're looking to the Father, they're looking into our day. They're looking for this massive move of God that's about to happen. They were seeing it all the way to the end. Amen? So when you get exposed to the glory of God, you get to see the end from the beginning. Now, that is a huge part. If you can see the end from the beginning, something can happen to your faith, because what God needs to do with our faith is get it out of the now. Because if you're exercising faith in the now all the time, you're going to get beat up. The enemy owns this territory. You got to get out sometime. Like Anna was talking about, the enemy, he'll come. The Bible says he'll come. He'll come hard to steal the word. And he's coming with atmospheres. He's coming with voices. He runs imaginations. He does all kinds of, he comes with voices of other people. I mean, he'll be sure you get his message. And if you get enough of that message, you start agreeing with it. You start agreeing with it, you start speaking it. But there's another realm of God that we can launch out from. Amen? And I mean, that realm can be extreme to the utmost extreme. Like John, he gets called through a door and he walks the book of Revelation. He sees it. He walks it. He interacts because he's there. And he finished. Do you know the last days have already been finished in heaven? Not just the cliche finished. It was finished because John saw the whole thing as an eyewitness. He walked in real time 2,000 years ago, but he was walking in front because he got called through the door and he walked it out, interacted, talked, ate scrolls, spoke, and saw the whole thing to the very end, as we all know. That's an operation of him that is to come. Peter, James, and John get caught up in the glory of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter writes the second book of Peter about the second coming of the Lord. And he uses that as his more sure word of prophecy. How can he write on the second coming of the Lord that hadn't even happened yet based on the encounter and the Mount of Transfiguration? Because he got caught up in the glory. That's what happens. When you get caught in the glory of God, you move. Amen? Well, when God sends you, when God speaks to you a word, when he gives you a promise, a dream, or a revelation, he is speaking to you from a realm that's way out in front of you. But it's not in front of him. He's inhabiting the realm. He created the realm. And he's speaking from a finished position. Because that's where he's standing when he releases the word. See, he doesn't release his word where you are. He releases it where from where he is. We just receive it from where we are. That's why any of you have ever had a mountaintop experience or an explosive word of promise. How many of you have had an explosive word of promise? Raise your hand. I mean, when God, look at all those hands. I mean, when it comes in, you feel like you can move heaven and earth that day. And how many, you know, when you were young, how many did you go try to move heaven and earth that day? Now, I know you did because I did. And I still try to do it every once in a while. You want to move because it comes with faith. It comes with glory. Why? Because it was spoken from his realm. It came with faith. It came with glory. It came finished. It came like that. You saw the end from the beginning. And sometimes what we call the mountaintop experience, you're able to look very far when he gives you an encounter like that. Sometimes he'll let you go far out, dude. He will let you get out there. How many of you ever happened like that? I mean, he opened your eyes and you can see. Why? Because he's letting you see all the way to the place he spoke it from. And sometimes he comes with such faith, you are ready to roll with it. But as wisdom comes along, you realize you can't just go roll with words like that. Because those words don't come by our human sufficiency. Those promises come. How? From the realm that is to come. We have to learn the mystery of how to get that realm he spoke from here. Or get this realm there. How do I get the realm I live in over there? When God gives his word, that word is spoken from this creative realm of his heart that's already finished. When he releases it, it already has the finish line in it. When he releases it, it already has the beginning and the end in it. When he releases it, it has the beginning, middle, and end. When it releases it, it had the last 20 years you've been walking with it in it, and it has the next 20 years, or the next 2 years before, or the next 2 days, or the next 2 minutes before its fulfillment. It's already compacted in it. The thing is you see it that day, but after time, that thing tends to drift away or put it on a shelf. That's the worst thing you can do, is put God's word on a shelf. Do not shelve the words of God. Do not shelve the encounters of God. But instead, they were sent as an invitation. And if you don't receive the invitation, you're going to miss why he sent it in the first place. He didn't send it to tickle you so you could throw it on a shelf and forget about it and say one day, God will come back and just do it. No, God needs your cooperation. He has to have your cooperation. Because God did something in our church day that we don't quite understand yet. Is God left the dominion and authority with man. He gave it to man. It has to come. He has to move this kingdom and cooperate with us in the earth. He can't just bypass us. If he could, he would have already just swooped the whole world up. He left the power of attorney of the name of Jesus with his church. Amen. So what he wants us to do is he wants us to learn how to cooperate in mystery form with this promise. But really, what he really wants us to do is get over there where he's at. Amen. How do I get my life over here in the finish line? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. In the finish line is where all the faith is. In the finish line is all the glory is. In the finish line is where all the life is. The life is certainly not in the now and now. I can't find very much faith right here. It's very hard. You can do it. It just takes a lot of effort and a lot of energy. And you will get worn down doing that. It is better to get out from this realm. Get up into his realm. Climb out, climb in. That's why we go through the door. That's why we go to the throne of grace. That's why we surrender. That's why we die in the Jordan. And that's why we emerge in the promised land. I remember that time I was sitting there in the Jordan for 2 years, holding that constitution for two years. Most people won't do it 2 days. And they start calling it works. Held that, this big one, for 2 years. Representing before, waiting for God to come get me in the promised land. And then Cody says something one day, we were just praying. He goes, I think we're supposed to just go on into the promised land. I'm like, what a noble thought. Whoa. How do I go into a promised land that I'm not in yet? How do I walk into something that I'm not there yet? I walk into it by the imagery of what God said. What does your promised land look like? It doesn't look like a bunch of words. It looks like imagery. You got to feel it, touch it, taste it, see it. You're going to have to get your senses transported into God's kingdom. I like to tell this story one time. So we started doing this. When we started doing this, I just stepped over. I just like went over that Jordan and like I'm standing on the bank of the promised land and I'm sitting there. He says, now walk up into Jericho. And that's when that whole revelation of Jericho approach opened because we went and stood up in there. And then suddenly he tells Joshua something. What does he say? See that I have given. And he tells him what's going to happen. And he says, go do it. What did the Lord say? I in myself, this is Jesus, words of Jesus, can do nothing. I can only do what I see my Father doing. Then doeth the Son likewise. Amen. So what I found is we started doing this, we could actually move in God's words ahead of where we are. And I found out it was almost a prerequisite to do this because I found something out there. We started walking in the promised land. We started, and then he starts opening more, and we could walk out in his word. I see that you have given. Suddenly you have done it. Suddenly. And suddenly we are in this prayer time now that used to be boring that suddenly has come very much alive. Because I'm not stuck anymore waiting for him to do something. Okay, I pray, I believe I receive. Your turn, God, show up, your turn. And God said, there, you don't have it yet. Receive it. Like, how would you act if you received it? And so people go, well, I'm going to rejoice. But what we do is we look at that from this dimension here. But the word has a capacity to move you out of this dimension. It can get you out there where you need to be. And you need to be out there in the kingdom of God. But you don't need to be out there in your own self. You don't need to be out there in the soul. You don't need to be out there unless you're walking out in his word. So I'm just going to show you a few simple things the Lord showed me. Because we're getting really advanced with this now with a crown. This is what we do. We walk from the beginning of the crown where it started with Abraham. We walk it up Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Caleb, David, Solomon, Zerubbabel, Christ, and now our day. And we walking through everything he said, I see that you have done, I see us doing it. And suddenly as we've been doing this all the way to the end, where the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God, where all death, destruction has been put under his feet. He said, sit at my right hand till I put all your enemies under your feet. They're already under your feet, but sit here until I do it. Amen. And so as we begin doing this, I call it, we're doing the wrap, praise God. We wrap it from beginning to end. There's a reason why he calls himself Alpha and Omega. There's a reason why he calls himself him that was and is to come. There's a reason why he says I'm first and last. There's a reason why. Because he is first and last. But he needs you to get in all part of that. Because if your faith can get loaded with first, loaded with the beginning, loaded with the middle, loaded with the end, then you can call the thing that be not as though it was. I call that thing that be not. I tell you, there are times we come out of this realm like this, and we are so loaded with faith. I come back to this realm, I'm like, this looks nothing like where I've been. Because that realm is living. It's alive. It's glorious. In this realm, I said, no, follow me. Follow me. See, you're calling that realm. What realm? The one you're living in right now. See, it's kind of a different form of Christianity, isn't it? You're calling it from a realm you're dwelling in. Calling thing that be not. Hey, I got news for you right now. We are in the be not realm here. There's another realm that is. Thy will be done on the earth as it is. See, there it is realm in heaven. There is an is realm in the Father. There is an is realm that's already finished, already done, already finished and done. He's not calling that realm here. He's calling this realm there. And to do that, you got to get to the there realm. You got to get into the finish. What is the finish line? It looks exactly like what God showed it to you on the mountain. He just hasn't had your agreement. He hasn't had you standing with it. Because when you let go of that word, you let the image go. You let the life of it go. When you put it on the shelf, everything fades. When you start picking that thing up and start walking with it. He said, if a man will hear the word of the kingdom, receive the word of the kingdom, understand the word of the kingdom, and keep the word of the kingdom. If you keep all of these things and my word in your mouth and your heart, say not in your heart, who's going to bring him back down and crucify him? Say not in your heart, who's going to crucify him or ascend again? The word is nigh, it's finished is what he's saying. You don't need him to come back down. You don't need him because everything he did is finished. From his point of view, it's done. Because it's literally done there. It's already been done. Finished, completed. We have to dwell. We teach you how to do that. I'm not going to be able to teach you all that in one service, but we teach you how to move in to a finish line position and stand in it and get clothed in it. Because why? I'm using the see that I have given model. What does that mean? See that I have finished this. See that this city has come down. See that I have given. What has he given you? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What did he say to you? Walking out his word. Well, we recently did something we've been doing. It's what I call wrapping this seat. So once you go to Mark 4, verse 30. This is powerful. Never saw this before. And he's talking about the operation of the word of God here. The entire operation of the word of God. And he says something very powerful. Verse 30. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? Look at this. It is like, it's not a grain. It is like the grain of a mustard seed. When it's sown in the earth, it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it's sown, it groweth up. Now he's talking about the word of God. And he's talking about how it comes in. It comes in as a seed. It's like the grain of a mustard seed, but it's least of all things, but it's going to grow up. Say it's going to grow up. Now, when this word comes in like a seed, I've heard people preach like this. You don't need big faith. All you need is a little small little faith. No, I'm sorry, because the Lord rebuked people often for having no faith and little faith. Oh, you have little faith. That's not what he was teaching. He wasn't teaching you little faith or no faith. Faith, that's for certainty. He wasn't teaching you cannot diminish faith. because you can't please God without it. You're loved unconditionally no matter what you do, but you're not going to please him because he said it very specifically. Without faith, you cannot please him, for the just will live by faith. So I started looking at this seed. We've been around this seed. We were preaching Mark 4 20 years ago, but I didn't see what he was trying to say. What was he saying? When the faith is the operation of a seed, and it dawned on me, when you understand the dynamics of a seed, God did this in creation. He put genius in his seed. God put the beginning, middle, and end of everything in a little bitty seed. He put the whole programmed apple tree, oak tree, orange tree. He put it all up in a little seed. Beats me to this day how a little brown seed can be fallen to the ground and turn into an apple tree with red apples. How does that work? Because God ingeniously programmed this seed with his own self. A seed has life. I mean, they covet seeds. You understand the powers that be have taken some of the best seeds of the earth and they covet them. They want to start a whole new world with them one day. I'm not getting conspiratorial on you, but they covet because they know the life is in that seed. He divinely designed that thing to look a certain way in the program in the seed, and that had the Father's perfected design in it. Well, the seed is like that with you. When his promise comes, sometime that seed is just a part. He lets you see one little part. He kind of explodes one part. He can explode somewhere in the middle. He can explode sometime in the end. He can explode sometime in the beginning. But that seed, he's just letting you see what's in it. When he sends your word, listen, you don't know this all the time, but the word has the whole thing in it. When God first gave me the word of Zechariah 4, he said, it's all you need to accomplish the wealth transference of the nations. That was 33 years ago. How can two olive trees and a golden bowl of oil accomplish the wealth transference of the nations? And some dude named Zerubbabel. After walking with the seed, it releases image after image after image after image, unfolding. But he gave it in the beginning. But you got to walk with it. Amen. You're walking with it. Then I found out this thing is a crown. I'm like, this thing started a long time ago and it's going to be here a long time after. I'm sitting in the middle of some serious programming. We are carrying some serious programming right now. We have got something up in our hard drive that's going to outlast our generation. That's what he did with Abraham. God started speaking. He comes and seeds Abraham's loins and said, Abraham, I need a brand new race. This is a fallen race. I need a whole new race of people. I need something to come out of your loins. I'm going to promise you that bring a seed out of your loins. And that seed, I'm going to put it inside you. I'm going to put it in your genes and you're going to bring it out. You're going to give birth. But before you give birth, let's complete the whole thing. Watch this. That's what God did. Say, come here, Abraham. You've been at this how long? 24 years? How far are you into this? Well, I've birthed an Ishmael and I found out Eleazar can't be the heir. I said, where else are we? He goes, that's about it right now. He said, let's finish this today. Come before my face. And God comes right up into Abraham's mix. And he says, walk before my face today. We'll finish the covenant. And as soon as he did that, God took his hand inside himself. Because the Bible's very clear about this. God was speaking. When God decided to speak, he was speaking from a position. And it wasn't Abraham's position. He goes, your name has been Abram. Your name is Abram. And then he says, I'm going to change your name. And as he walks with him, he says, your name has been Abraham. A father of many nations, I have made thee. Romans 4 was very clear about that. Kings, what? Come out. Now, King James got it wrong, but Romans 4 got it right. And they don't know how to reconcile Genesis 17 with Romans 4 because Paul got it right. He said, a father of many nations, I have made. How did he make him? I've already done it. When did it happen? It hadn't yet happened, but I already made it because he walked him in himself. That's what that seed does. It lets you walk in yourself, not yourself, in God. And when he walked him in, see, he wasn't speaking. Get this. He wasn't speaking to Abraham where he was. We're always so conscious of the temporal environment. He got him out of the temporal environment. And once he got him to the point of name change, your name has been Abraham. He got him way out in front of the name change. And then kings have come out of your loins. He got him past Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Caleb. Got him through David and Solomon up to the lineage of the king. Kings have come out from thee. He's walking him through his generations. He says, now, a father of many nations, I've made thee. It's not just the Jewish nation. All nations are encompassed in Christ. He got him in front of Christ. And what did he say? Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And what? He saw it. Saw it. Say, saw it. Boy, they wanted to kill him when he said that. Because they didn't understand. Jesus is standing next to the guy on the cross. Well, hanging next to him anyway. And they're hanging together. And he said, this day you will be with me in paradise. And they're saying, see, there's not really, he wasn't there in 3 days in hell, because this day he was actually in heaven that day. They're always trying to figure out what's going on because they don't understand God. Jesus wasn't hanging on the cross when he said that. He was 3 days in front. He had already translated himself 3 days in the Father. He said, this day you're going to be with me in the paradise. See, he can move like that. That's why he could say, I sent you to reap where you bestowed no labor. And the disciples, wait a minute, we didn't go anywhere. I sent you. Do you know he already sent us? In John 17, he said, those that believe on me through this word, I sent them. Not going to sin, sent. You and I have already been sent to the harvest field as far as he's concerned. We've already done the job because he's speaking from the realm that is to come. We need to get us up in there, because I'm finding out there's some serious power up in there. Authority and stuff's happening. So this seed comes with Alpha and Omega in it. It comes with beginning and ended. The seed of God, the wealth transference, comes. The crown comes with beginning and end. It comes with Alpha and Omega. It has himself in it, because he already programmed the finish line. That's what happens when revivals break out. They don't have a finish line, because they're a now move that got birthed simultaneously, spontaneous. You don't know how you birthed it. You probably won't keep it. I remember there was church in the city that went to Brownsville, got a huge impartation. Man, they come in with that Brownsville, and it just exploded through their church. And they were having services. And then I started going there and I started seeing something. Then everybody started having a repeatable pattern. Everybody would line up at the end of the service to get another touch, another anointing. And after a while, that anointing began to wear off a little bit. And everybody was trying to get more anointing, but the bottle wasn't giving anymore, see. And all of a sudden, when it went dry, that's the worst thing ever, to get elevated into the heavens and lose it. If you're going to elevate the heavens, you better learn how to sustain it. Because don't take somebody up and then drop them like a lead balloon. Because you won't have a congregation left. And so God has this beginning and end. It's all in the seed, right? He said, if you have faith that can work like that seed, if your faith can work beginning, middle, and end, if your faith can get to the end, the middle, and the beginning, if you know how to operate in the mystery of true faith that can stand in the beginning, middle, or end of your promise, you can say unto the mountain, move, and they're going to move. If you have faith like this, you see that? That's the kind of faith he was talking about. If you can learn to move like that seed moves, if you can get your faith in there moving like a seed moves, get pre-programmed. Well, see, the word already comes pre-programmed, but you only get a part of it. If you want to get the whole of it, you're going to have to keep it. You're going to have to learn how to keep it, and keep it before God and represent. And as you begin to represent, God starts exploding the image of what you're representing. That's how we know a little bit, because we've kept it. And as we kept it, it kept opening more and more and more and more. We just keep it, and all of a sudden something else opened and something else opened. And God told me one day, he said, it was all there in the first place. But because you kept it and you did what I asked you to do, and you kept it before me. I started opening the image and opening and opening and opening. He went backwards, he went forwards. And he opened this huge image that's like programmed into these constitutions. It's all there now. And we're wrapping it every day now. What do you mean by rapping? Man, we are representing beginning, middle, and end. Say beginning. We did it this morning and we're boom. Hallelujah. When we started, it was like, oh my God, I gotta get up. I don't like 7 o'clock in the morning, but I'm doing it. Praise God. And it just went bam. Hallelujah. By the end, it was like, wow, you come out like a lion. I found out something and I'm going to share with this part of you. The Lord told Nicodemus, he said, unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom. What is he saying? You're not going to see how this kingdom works. Your eye won't be able to see how this invisible, you won't be able to look into the invisible kingdom. See, the word requires you look at the invisible kingdom. How do I look at an invisible kingdom? His word will enlighten. As you begin to hold the word and keep the word and represent the word, its image keeps releasing and releasing. So you see more, you see more. Say, you see more, you see more. What is he ultimately looking for before he gives you manifestation? He's got to take the programming of that seed and write it upon the canvas of your spirit. He's got to take the beginning, middle, and end of your promise and write it inside you. Because you're the ground it's coming out of. And the way it comes out is you have to see that I have given before I do give. And to see that I have given, you got to get into front. You got to get in front of where you are. But the seed has the power to do that. That's why he said the kingdom cometh not by observation. You're not going to birth the kingdom by looking here. It cometh from within. Because the seed's coming within. It's going to interact with your ground. And as that image begins to grow up, say it groweth up, it's going to grow to the left. It's going to grow to the right. It's going to grow to the beginning. It's going to grow to the end. It's going to grow all around. All of a sudden, man, that thing starts exploding on the inside of you. And you're looking at in the glory of it. It's like, why has this happened yet? Because it's happening inside. That's what happens when you keep the word before him. His throne. So there's this little scripture. You can go there. John 7. As we've been doing this. When I get to the end. All of a sudden I start seeing this scripture. John 7. John 7, 38. This started happening this week. So I'm just giving you some real time stuff. He that believeth on me. As the scripture has said. Out of his belly. Will flow rivers of living water out of his innermost being. Do you know what that means? That can be anything from a move of God, but promised. Well, let's look at this in promissory form just for a minute before we close. Ultimately, the promise has to break out of you, right? It has to come out into this jurisdiction. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That is demonstration. That is manifestation. That is the ultimate goal from the invisible kingdom where he blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Put it all up there. Devil can't get it, but you have access to it. That's why he put it there in the first place, so the devil can't get it, because he's been stealing enough from us. So God said, you're not stealing this, because somebody's going to learn how to get a hold of it. But I will put it beyond your reach, but somebody will learn how this works. I'm going to put some serious stuff up in the heavenly realms, and I'm going to call a serious people to find my face and learn how to bring this stuff down. But ultimate goal is that stuff is going to come out your innermost being from the kingdom within. It's coming out in the form of manifestation, demonstration, a visible, tangible kingdom that can be seen among men. That is our goal. The crown to be seen. Or your promise to be seen. Visible. It's got to break out. So, with that said, would you say that's pretty much, it's not the end, but it's up there. It's past promised land. It's manifestation. What's the end? What that would look like. If that was your healing, out of your innermost being breaking forth, manifestation, then the only other image I would be perambulating is see that you are healed. What would that look like? What would that taste like? What would you do if you were healed? Why aren't you doing that every day now? Don't do it from where you are. Walk up the timeline. But out of your innermost being floweth the river. Now watch this. As us doing this and going through this, we're doing all this thing, and then we come down in the earth and we're releasing the crown and the angels and all that. And all of a sudden I stand there and say, I'm not waiting anymore. I learned not to wait anymore. I'm not waiting for something to happen. I just move forward because I can, because I can see the next dominion. If I can see it, I see you've given it. I see you've given it. I see you've given me the promise. You've given me the two olive trees. You've given the break. I see the oil. I see out of my belly. Suddenly the oil is in me, and out from my innermost being floweth the oil. I don't stop there. I've already moved that oil at least 6 months in front to a lot of people. But all of a sudden, as I kept doing that, I started out of my innermost being flow the oil, and something started flowing out of me. I'm like, what is this? He said, that is the oil. Pour it. Pour it. I'm like, I don't have it yet. He says, you do have it, because you're standing in the realm that is to come. And that realm is as real as the one you're in, more real. Because it is a realm of truth that's already finished. You're standing in the finish line. Now pour that oil. Well, how do I do that? I stood over this congregation. I poured it all up into this altar. I poured it on Carson. I poured it on Victoria. I poured it on Anna. Poured it on some of you. I stood over my house and poured the oil. It was flowing like a river. I could feel it out of me. It turned like honey coming out of me. I don't know how to explain all that, but it was real. It felt real, like a tangible anointing. Listen, I've been anointed a lot. I know what anointing feels like when it flows out of me. I've noticed, I've sat there and done this with my hand, and a whole line fell out. I've seen all that. I know what that's like. I know when that's flowing. I know when it's coming out. I know when it backs up. I know, but I know when it's coming out of me. And that same anointing was flowing out of me. But I'm standing in a future position and it's flowing out of me. But it's not a future position in God. It's just a realm of God called truth. But I got there. And I got beyond it. I started pouring it out in front of me. He said, stand over your house and pour it. I'm like, whoa. Because is that what's going to happen when it happens? When your breakthrough comes and it comes out, of course it's going to happen. When you get a breakthrough, what heaven reports a breakthrough, it breaks out of you. Well, you're eventually going to catch up to that. But why wait for that? Why don't you just go there? He already said, he that believeth on me will wait 30 years and then it'll come out. He that believeth on me out from his innermost being will flow. So sometime in my future, there's literally a flow coming out. Sometime in my future, something's busting out of me. I'm not waiting for it any longer. I'm just going to go stand in it and it'll release it. I walk all the way up through it and I get to the point where it's done. I pour in that oil over the future of our church. I'm pouring it over a future property. I'm pouring it over a future that God has promised. Everywhere I'm just pouring the oil, I'm watching and feeling it pour out. You're perambulating. But it becomes real. It won't be real in the very beginning. It may not be that. But when you keep doing it, whew, you start touching the life. You start touching the glory. You start touching the realm of the Father. And it's truth. And Anna goes, my God, how do we get in such glory? And then we come back here and we're like, ugh. How many of you done that? You come back in this realm and go, ugh. You can hear with all kinds of stuff. I'm like, man, I'll just take me back there. I'll just go live there. What's the use of living here? I just want to go back. Just get me back there. I want to escape the pollutions of the world. I want to escape into the glory of God. I want to escape into the real truth, the living truth. I want to escape into the face of the Father. I want to dwell where there's life and glory. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. That's enough. Come on, stand up. Praise God. You can go further than that. You can walk all the way to the end of the book of Revelation if you want. Kind of cool to stand in there watching the devil getting thrown out of the second heaven. Watching Michael empty them all out, knowing his fate. How about this? Is this the guy that deceived the nations? I'm visiting that place every day. Is this the one that deceived the nations? This little dude? because he's been reduced to the nothingness he is. He challenges us in this dispensation. He challenges, but when you get to the end, is this the guy? And when you're walking in the Word of God, you get to see him for what he is. He gets diminished big time. And he knows he's going to be diminished. He knows he's going to be dismissed and diminished. You know that God's going to empty the entire second heaven out? Do you know that Michael's going to throw the principalities and the powers down into the earth? Do you know you're not going to be here? Praise God. Amen. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah.